KGO. We're talking with Joshua Kors, investigative reporter for The Nation. You've heard him before, and he and I have talked a lot about the way we treat veterans when they come home and the like. The latest that he's really focusing on, the way wounded soldiers are being, absolutely purposely misdiagnosed as having some kind of a pre-existing condition, which they don't. It's absolutely phony. But they call it a personality disorder. And what does that mean? It denies them a lifetime's worth of disability and medical benefits. That's horrendous.
It absolutely is. It's good to be with you.
Now, this idea of personality disorder, give me an idea as to what a doctor would say. All right, the guy's injured or the guy just cannot handle it anymore, goes to the doctor. What's the personality disorder?
Sure. Well, a specialist, John Towne's case is really a classic example of what's going on. Towne was wounded in Iraq by a rocket blast, won the Purple Heart for his wounds, lost a significant portion of his hearing. And after winning the Purple Heart, the doctor told him that he had a pre-existing personality disorder, that was the cause of his deafness.
And what personality disorder would that be?
Well, as I pursued this story, I've been reporting on it for the last decade. I've seen personality be blamed for shrapnel wounds. I spoke with one doctor who talked to me about the pressure on him to purposely misdiagnose a soldier with a chunk missing from his leg. His superior wanted him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
One of the first things you think about is the Hippocratic Oath. How could any doctor look somebody in the eye and define what this personality disorder is without even knowing full well that it's not the case?
Well, in that case, the reason the doctor talked to me is that he rejected the diagnosis. He quit rather than continue on and provide that diagnosis. But so many doctors are doing it, and the consequences for these soldiers are devastating.
How are they being forced to do it? I mean, they certainly don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something that I've been digging into. I really start with the families, because when these soldiers are denied disability benefits, they get the personality disorder discharge, no disability benefits for the rest of their lives. They don't get long-term medical care. And, get this, Ron, they have to give back their signing bonus because they're too wounded to complete their contract. That means right now, thousands of our wounded soldiers are coming in and they're finding out in their final day in uniform, you'll never get disability pay, you'll never get long-term medical care, and guess what? Here's a bill for $10,000.
And of course, most of them cannot pay it, I would think.
No, and in fact, there's a reason why 22 veterans a day are committing suicide. You think of the case of Chris Mosier. He was given the personality disorder discharge in February 2006. They gave him a bill for $1,700. By October, he had died for a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
And by the way, we talk individuals here. Let me give you the scope of it. Since 2001, more than 31,000 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder. No way 31,000 have personality disorders. This, by the way, parenthetically, it saves the military over $17.2 billion in disability benefits.
Yeah, and I should say, personality disorder actually is a recognized mental illness. You think about the shooter at Sandy Hook Elementary School or the kids from Columbine, and this is a serious mental illness. That's why the military screens for it before soldiers are admitted into the military. They're screened again before they're deployed. In the dozens and dozens of cases I looked at in my 10 years reporting on this story, soldiers were a lot more like Sergeant Chuck Luther, who served a dozen years, won 22 honors for his performance. It was only after he was wounded by mortar fire that his pre-existing personality disorder was discovered.
I just cannot imagine how Congress, if they are aware of it, lets it happen. Are they aware of it?
Well, that's actually one ray of hope here. Now, you think about Hillary Clinton. After mine came out, 31 senators wrote a letter to the Secretary of Defense demanding that he investigate these discharges. Hillary was one of them. Of course, if she gets the chance to be commander-in-chief, she could put a stop to this immediately. Of course, there's a sour note there as well. One of those senators who wrote that demand to the Secretary of Defense was Senator Barack Obama. Obama actually went further. He wrote a bill, S-1817, to put a halt to all of these fraudulent personality disorder discharges.
And it was the Republican Congress that refused to pass it?
Well, the bigger problem was once he got to the White House himself. Once again, he would have had the chance to stop it, but he declined to take action. The White House told me instead that he continued to be concerned.
Phew. 808-0810 is the telephone number, 808-0810. This is heavy stuff. This is, I mean, think about it. You go into the Army, you think everything's going to be fine. You get injured, you lose a limb, you come back to the United States. They rig it so that you cannot get any kind of medical attention whatsoever. You get, and then, oh, then they got the chutzpah to say, by the way, the signing bonus, we want it back. What a scenario. And these are the people who are putting their lives on the line for us. Think about that. 808-0810. Any questions you've got or comments, feel free. 808-0810. Ron Owens with Joshua Kors. And by the way, among other things, he's going to be at a Berkeley Forum speaker series Monday, October 24th at 6 p.m. And that's on Dwinnell Hall at UC Berkeley campus. All you have to do is go to Joshua Kors. One word, Joshua Kors, KORS.com. Everything is on there.
Now, back to the Ron Owens Show.
We started talking about personality disorders. We're going to talk a bit about military sexual trauma, which is a phrase that really should not even be used. But let's take some calls. 808-0810. John is in Benicia. John, good morning.
Yeah, I've got a son who served in the Army, took a medical discharge. His medical issues that he's had are severe. He's been rated, 100% disabled. Has his medical care been outstanding? I think it's been very good. Part of it is the people have to manage their care just like you and I do, Ron, when we go out. This whole talk about refunding a bonus, I can't find anything that talks about anybody having to refund a bonus unless they've been separated from the military on a misconduct or some other issue like that. I'd like to know where this information's coming from.
Stay on the line, John. Let's find out. Joshua.
Yeah, I mean, I think your son has, I'm so sorry for his injury and thanks for his service. To be rated 100% disabled, that's what so many of these soldiers are looking for, to get a chance to get disability benefits. When you have personality disorder, they're talking pre-existing injuries, and it's just like the old insurance system where you're out, you get 0% disability. That means nothing for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but what John was asking is, where does the information come that they take away the $10,000 as you used as an example?
Well, the soldiers have to pay back for the chunk of time not complete their contract.
And if they don't. They don't. That's not true.
Well, I have a sheet right in front of me of thousands of soldiers and all the numbers right in front of me. I mean, this is documents I got directly from inside Fort Carson.
All right. Let's go to Mary in San Leandro. Mary, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ron. In all the 20 years that I've been listening to you, this story has moved me the most. And my brother's getting off that. And I just like to know what I can do. I'm supposed to know this, and I don't think time is on.
It's a very bad line, but basically what she's asking is, the topic has really gotten to her, and the question is, what do you do? Can you fix this? How do you do that?
Well, I think listeners are a lot more powerful than they realize. I mean, the very first thing to do is to learn about this issue. People really care. They can inform themselves. Ron, recently I gave a TED Talk about this issue. People can find it at joshuakors.com, KORS. If people know, if people pressure those in Congress and the White House to take action, then action gets taken. But right now, things are not happening because people don't know. I think about Representative Tim Walz, the highest-ranking enlisted man in the U.S. Congress. He put forward Senator Barack Obama's bill to halt these discharges once again, but it fell flat because nobody in Congress knew about this issue. If the American people don't know, if they don't inform themselves, then people in Congress aren't going to know either.
But we do a bit when we had the whole Veterans Hospital Administration, the VA, and the way that was run and the people waiting for months for appointments and the like, has that at least improved?
Somewhat. The wounded soldiers I'm speaking to are having to wait months and months. That's another part of the suicide epidemic, as a lot of these soldiers who are dealing with constant pain, constant headaches, other traumas, a lot of them, at a certain point, they say, you know what, I can't take this, I'm done.
Let me shift to another aspect of this issue, and that's women in the military. More than 20% of female soldiers are sexually assaulted during their service.
That's right. It's a horrific statistic. It comes right from the Pentagon. And even worse, about 25% of those victims don't report the crime because the person they're supposed to report to was their attacker. This is something that I've really shifted to in examining the personality disorder issue, because so many of these female soldiers are facing a horrific choice. They step forward to report the crime, and instead their superiors are telling them, well, were you raped or do you have a personality disorder? And the big cost of losing a lifetime of benefits, a lot of these soldiers step back. They see that it's not worth it to report the crime. I think about Airman Amy Quinn, who served on the USS Harry Truman. She was brutally raped and physically assaulted. And when she went to report her crime, they didn't punish her attackers. They didn't sequester them on the ship. Instead, they discharged her for personality disorder.
Now, whether it's the personality disorder or this military sexual trauma, whatever, where does this all come from the top? How high does it go in terms of allowing this, or for that matter, demanding that it be treated this way?
A lot of the violence is part of the culture. There are a large portion of male soldiers who are raped as well. By the way, military sexual trauma, MST, isn't that the most horrific, euphemistic phrase you've ever heard? If you heard on the radio that 20% of female soldiers experienced MST, you're not going to do anything. You say, I don't know what that means. I got work to do. But if you heard that 20% of female soldiers are sexually assaulted, you're thinking, wow, this really deserves my attention.
And I would think if it was the men who were raped, it makes it more difficult for them just in terms of male pride and the like. They just don't want to acknowledge it.
I get emails every single day from male soldiers who were raped during their service, reported the rape, and then themselves were booted out with personality disorder.
Wow. One of the things you said is since 2006, more than 95,000 service members have been sexually assaulted in the military. And you said this comes from Department of Defense statistics.
That's right.
Wow. Dan is in Redwood City. Let's see what he's got to say. Dan, good morning and welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Ron. My father-in-law is a veteran of the Vietnam War, and he was considered what they call a warrior. In other words, before any of the troops went in, he was one of the guys that went in before everyone else and did the dirtiest, most risky, life-threatening work in order to open the way for troops. And as a result of it, he was one of the first that was exposed to Agent Orange. And it took many, many, many years for them to finally determine that this is what's causing all of the tremendous number of problems that he's been suffering from. And his only option has been the VA. And the VA has taken more time and has come up with more excuses and has treated this poor gentleman, along with so many others, so poorly. And it absolutely breaks my heart that men like my father-in-law and others who have given ultimate sacrifices in order to defend and protect the people of the United States. What can an individual, not a group, but an individual like him do to combat a lackluster, unresponsive VA?
It's a great question. You're really fighting uphill. I think social, public, political action is one option. Beyond that, for an individual case, I would recommend that your family contact one of the veterans groups. They have a team of attorneys. You know, recently, Yale Law School, they founded a veterans clinic specifically to attack these issues of both personality disorder discharges and soldiers who were wounded in combat and aren't getting their benefits. They're one of many organizations. In fact, you can find on my website, joshuacoors.com, a list of highly effective veterans groups with a legal department that you can go to and try to get some action.
One of the things I read in an investigative reporter, Alyssa Figueroa, she was talking about, again, an appeal process. You say, okay, this happens to me, I can at least I can apply, I can get an appeal. And the results are horrendous.
Oh, that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the important aspects of this investigation is that the military doesn't deny any aspect of this scandal. What they have said is that wounded soldiers who are being slipped out the side door with personality disorder, they can simply appeal their case, and then upon the appeals board overturning the case in the soldier's benefit,
how often does that
they can
happen?
Get their benefits. Right. So Alyssa Figueroa, you mentioned her year-long investigation. She looked at the last 3,000 cases of personality disorder discharge appeals. And of those 3,000 cases, zero were overturned. And it's little wonder. It turns out the appeals board was spending an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds on each case. You and I could guess as to how much digging an entire appeals board could do in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
And of course, they take months and months to prepare their initial...
I mean, looking through hundreds of pages that these wounded soldiers put together to prove that they were wounded in war, with 3 minutes and 45 seconds, they're basically rubber stamping what the Pentagon has already given them.
We're talking with Joshua Kors, investigative reporter for The Nation, talking about military and veterans issues. 808-0810, if you'd like to join us. Lines are kind of jammed, but give it a shot. On an up note, KGO has got your tickets into Fright Fest at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo. It's presented by Snickers 2 times a day, every weekday this week. And it's time to give away a pair of those tickets. Call number 10 right now to the KGO contest line, 415-995-6810. Wins 2 tickets into Fright Fest. Tickets furnished by Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Good luck from your friends at KGO 810. Ronald on KGO Radio, Joshua Kors is here. One thing about military sexual trauma, and I said the acronym, it just doesn't work. Apparently, what you've got are people who are raped, and yet they put down they're experiencing this military sexual trauma.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in fact, I led a movement which I had been pretty successful to defeat that acronym once and for all. We can just put that.
It sounds so nice and easy. Okay, military sexual trauma. Maybe you were scared by something. It doesn't describe the depth to which this goes.
Absolutely. I think about PTSD. That used to be shell shock. I bet you a lot of those soldiers would have gotten a lot more care if it had remained shell shock. There's a language war going on here as well. And part of that, I don't want to say cover up, but part of the muting of the pain of so many of these veterans is the language itself. You know, let's go back to rape. Let's go back to sexual assault. We don't need military sexual trauma, and we certainly don't need MST.
Let's go to Hector in Fremont. Good morning, Hector. Hector. Right. Hey, we'll put him back. Put him back on hold if we can, and we'll go to Susan in Brentwood. Susan, good morning. Ron Owens and Joshua Kors.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm a third generation vet, and my brother and I both served in the first Gulf War. Had an uncle, my father, in Vietnam, and my grandfather and his brothers were in Korea and World War II. And I just wanted to say thank you for bringing this up. I mean, this is a long-standing issue with the VA, you know, and it makes me so angry. That these guys, especially now coming home, are having to deal with this. And I think we just need to keep it in the public eye. And the public needs to demand change. I mean, these people sacrifice everything. And we just need to keep it in the public conversation. And again, I just truly want to thank you for bringing this up.
Oh, well, thank you. And yes, this has been an issue for a very long time. You know, Ron, when I first started reporting on this issue, I got a letter from a veteran who had served in Vietnam. He had been wounded there in combat, discharged with a personality disorder, denied benefits for decades. He took my reporting into the VA in Las Vegas, plunked the article down, said, "This is what happened to me." They reviewed his case, and for him, they started giving him benefits and back pay for all the years that they owed him.
Wow, that's sure different from the going in front of that board where 0 out of 3,000 were upheld.
Well, to get your discharge overturned is different than getting the VA to step in and give benefits. And that's actually part of the absurdity of these cases. Some of these veterans do go directly to their local VA to try to get benefits there. And then you end up with this radical schism. You have a local VA saying that, say, they're 100% disabled, where you have the Pentagon saying they have no disability at all, even soldiers who were discharged with a Purple Heart.
In Fremont, Hector, you're back. Go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Exceptional topic, bringing a matter that has been discarded and not talked about in our society. So thank you so much. Question, is there any analysis or comparative understanding of sexual assault, military sexual assault, both male and female, if they're not getting the help at the Veterans Administration or through the military, are they going to civilian groups or therapists to get assistance? And then is there any comparative analysis between sexual assault that happens in the civilian population compared to that of what may happen to those in the military, both male and female?
It's a great question. There are a lot of restrictions on veterans who are seeking medical care. The VA really tries to clamp down and make sure that medical care goes through their doors. A lot of the veterans groups that I've been reporting on, they've been pressing Congress to open up those doors and get the regulations to allow veterans who are wounded and don't want to wait in line for 6, 7, 8 months to go to the VA, to go to their local doctor. Of course, you can go to the local doctor, but the chances that you're going to get that care paid for by the government is pretty much nil.
In San Francisco, Willie, it's your turn. Good morning.
I got a few. First of all, sexual assault is a crime. I mean, we talk trying to, like, water it down trauma. And one more, I'm going to make a couple of more points. First, and secondly, I want to say that the military is actually comprised of poor white men in general, then poor black men, and recently poor Latinos. Military moms can't even get food stamps. I mean, it was a big issue with that. Until there's some equity as far as class in the military, of everybody in this country serving, everybody, not just poor whites, poor blacks, and poor Latinos, this problem will not get solved. The last thing point I want to make is that we need to hold military service members as high as in esteem as we hold cops, because they put their lives on the line a little bit more than cops, and they need a cop's pay. So all that fake about paying military members this and paying military members, they need money. They need to be paid more money. Then it might be more equity.
Joshua?
Well, I'm sure everybody can agree with higher pay for soldiers, but, you know, you strike a note of hopelessness, and you'd think that that's how I would feel after a decade of reporting on this scandal, and it's just not how I feel. I truly believe that if listeners go to joshuacoors.com, if they watch the TED Talk, if they make one click and share it with a friend, challenge that friend to share it with their friends, information about this can spread. And when there's widespread understanding of what's happening to these soldiers, of how many tens of thousands of wounded soldiers are coming back and being denied benefits because of this phony pre-existing condition, we're going to have some rapid change. But it all depends on people understanding first before they can get their representatives in Congress.
One of the cases that jumped out at me is the case of a colonel who was denied a promotion because of misconduct, which never occurred. And the board acknowledged nothing, no misconduct, none occurred. But they wouldn't overturn the case because they said, well, the fact that he was accused of it, that appearance of impropriety cannot be overlooked. It's outrageous.
Yeah, in the 10 years I covered this specific issue, I came across one case of a soldier who was able to get his case overturned, and that's just because he happened to have some inside contacts with his family in Congress in Washington. Beyond that, it seems almost impossible, and it's not right.
808-0810, we got a few more minutes with Joshua Coors. Do stay with us. I'm Ron Owens, KGO.
You're listening to Ron Owens on KGO 810.
We're talking with Joshua Coors. We're talking military. We're talking veterans. Christopher's in San Mateo, a different angle. Christopher, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Yeah.
I joined the Marine Corps back in the 70s, right after high school, from San Mateo. Went in and had an accident in the shop and got injured. I came home at a low percentage rating and went on to have almost 14 operations at VA Palo Alto. And through that process, I really ended up fighting a lot with the VA. Overall, over a long period of time, 20 years later, I'm 100% disabled vet. And basically what they did is they sent me home with meds and left me there to get depressed. And I was just really too young to be sitting at home. So I'm here today to tell folks that the VA is wonderful. I went back through those doors, and I went to the Martinez VA. I went to meditation classes, and this was probably 10 to 15 years ago. And over that time, the VA has changed a lot.
For the better or the worse?
For the better, especially in the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, the VA is outstanding. All the hospitals are located next to teaching facilities like Stanford and San Francisco. They're also, all my care at VA Palo Alto comes through Stanford. I mean, and the VA is really making a change towards wellness.
All right, you're coming.
It's great to hear that that was your experience. Just as I've spoken to so many doctors who talk about the pressure on them to purposely misdiagnose soldiers, I've spoken to other doctors from the VA who are working to combat this by providing excellent care. There are some opportunities for doctors at VAs around the country to help these soldiers.
And you wanted to make a comment on the idea of politics not connected to this.
Absolutely. This is not a political issue. This is a human rights crisis. We had mentioned before that 31,000 soldiers since 2001 had been discharged and denied benefits because of this personality disorder discharge, and that the military is saving $17.2 billion in disability benefits and long-term medical care. But those are just statistics. And these are not statistics. These are wounded soldiers. They're real people. They're real families.
And let me point out, Joshua is going to be speaking at the upcoming Berkeley Forum Speaker Series. That's at Dwinnell Hall on the Cal campus. It'll be this Monday night. The event is free, but you need to get a ticket to attend. You get your free tickets by going to joshuacors.com. That's Joshua, K-O-R-S.com. Website, TED Talk, they're both also linked to my Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/Ron Owens. It's good to have you on. I think it's important.
Good to be here, Ron.
Thank you so much.